towards our teaching time, highlighting the fact that this is a Mission Sunday for us. One of the things we have going on, we talked about Youth Week that we have coming up, and one of the other things we have coming up here shortly is there's a team of people going to Ethiopia. And one of the people going on this trip is one of us. And so what I'd love to do is have Aubrey Smith come up right now, because she's going to be heading out shortly to Ethiopia. And Avery, you want to come up too? Because they're twins. They just have to stand next to each other. But Avery's not going on the trip. So I'm sure that's... says mom. Okay, so what I'd love to do is just chat, Aubrey. One, what are you going to be doing? What is this group of people from Harbor Church is going to be doing in Ethiopia?
So there's about 15 of us in total, between some members of Fairhaven Church, South Harbor Church, and myself here from Walker Harbor. And so our one mission is to go there and to just spread the gospel throughout the communities there. And so we'll have we'll be hosting a vacation Bible school for the 500-plus children there. And then we'll also be attending worship services each day throughout the communities. And then we'll also have a chance to have some one-on-one time with the families there to get to know them and to just sit down and read scripture with them each day.
Okay. What, you're going to have to hang on to that. Okay. So there's that. That's fantastic. So that gives you a glimpse a bit about what you're going to be doing. Have you ever done anything like this, beginning with have you left the country?
I have not. I have never even left the country before. So, yeah, first time.
First time, which is in your many, many years, that is, right? Jeez. But within that, so you've never done anything like this, which to me raises the question, why would you do this?
A lot of it is to, it's a great opportunity for me to dig deeper into my faith and to experience and encounter Christ in, you know, a different way, something I haven't done before. And it's a great thing to get me out of my comfort zone, to just do something different, even just, you know, with getting out of the country, being away from home, and just, you know, something that's so normal to me. So really excited for that, and just, it's just going to be a great opportunity, I think, for me to continue to grow.
That's... So with that, and then Avery, we're not going to talk to you, you get enough attention. But Avery, you're leaving here this week, right?
Yeah.
And you're not talking. But Avery's going to Minnesota, amongst other things, and he's going to be doing his own little tour of stuff with Young Life this summer. And you've already started, and it's fantastic. And sort of thrilled with that. And then Mom, could you come up? So this is Mom for them. Yeah. So just because I want to take time and pray for you all, that we would pray for you all before we're going to take an offering, that we would say we're going to take an offering that will go into the mission, the Harbor Mission Fund. But we first and foremost need to, I think it's important for us as a community to make sure that Aubrey's completely covered, because she has her last payment coming up, and it's important that we pitch in and make sure that that's happens for her. So just know you're going to give that, and then beyond then it's going to flood into anything over, and it'll go over because we are the most generous people in the world. We are, and we will be known for that. So we're going to do that and pray for the family here, because Mom's going to be home. Mom has said before, Rebecca, by the way, is her name, that these two, just in the last year and a half even, have traveled and gone, and Mom's kind of like, when's my turn? So they've jumped around. Aubrey went with myself and my oldest son to Puerto Rico, and Avery did that. It's amazing. So, but real quick before we pray, I want to thank the three of you for being a witness to the Christ that is growing within you. Thank you for being a witness to us for the Christ in you doing such a work, and you just sharing that with us. It challenges us. It calls us to be a witness to the Christ in us. And to Aubrey, you said it so well, to get out of our comfort zone for Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you join me in prayer, gracious God, what a gift you have given us in this family. I bless you, God, for Aubrey, for Rebecca, and for Avery, and just the work that you are doing in their lives. And God, that they're listening to your voice and taking leaps and jumping out in the adventure that you are calling them to, that they are responding to that, even though, and maybe even especially, that it's outside of their comfort zone. And that's what you do, God. You stretch us. You push and pull and provoke us to step out, because we have to follow you. You compel us in the best, most beautiful ways. And I bless you for these three, and even now Aubrey, that she's getting ready to leave. God, knowing that you are with her, that you will go before this team, that you have a work for them to do. So God, I pray peace for the family. I pray boldness and courage for Aubrey and the team that she is with, that they would love well, first and foremost, that they would listen well, that they would desire to learn what you already are doing, because you are at work in Ethiopia and everywhere. They're just joining your work. So may they listen and learn well. And when they speak and act, may it just be out of the incredible love that you have been pouring in them. God, we bless you for this family, for the work that you're doing in their lives, and for their stepping out to follow. We pray all of this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As we slide into this, I do want to say, too, as we get going, for those of you who have been around and are used to us a little bit, but used to me, and tend to get really, really excited about teaching, and I love it, and I'm super passionate about it. But I do want to say, within this one especially, that I get excited, and if I start going too fast, or if I start running around, and you need to say slow down today. I don't want us to miss any of this this morning. I never want us to, but if I go too fast and you say repeat that again, back up a little bit, feel free to just slow it down. We've got all day today. So, but I want to make sure that we sink into this well. So with that, I want to invite you to stand, because we're going to say a bit of a prayer, it's a mantra, it's something that would be embedded into the Hebrew people in the ancients, and they would say this at least twice a day at the beginning of their day and at the end of their day. And the beginning would be, God, may this be my life with you. May this be the way in which I walk out this day. May this be my purpose as I start my day. And so it's a great way to start our day, end our day. Wonderful. And we're gonna begin here, because this will kind of kick off everything when we look into this. So we'll throw it up on screen and we'll say this together. First slide, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and Leviticus 19:18. It's known as called the Shema. So it's called the Shema, and the reason it's called the Shema is that first word, Hear, O Israel, here in Hebrew is Shema. And so it means to listen and to dig in. And so we're going to say this together, and then it combines Leviticus into this thing, and it's actually more. We're just going to do a snippet of it this morning. So here we go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. But before you be seated, we're going to say it in Hebrew as well. So most of you haven't memorized, but just follow along if you don't. So ready? Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Vehafta et Adonai Eloheka. B'chol Levavka. Uvacho Navshika. Uvacho Meodeka. Vehafta Le'reaka. Kamoka. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Each day we begin this way, and then each evening we do that. So the prayer is, God, this is my prayer. May it be so as I go into my day. At the end of the day, the prayer is, may it have been true of how I lived this day, that I loved God and loved neighbor. Next slide. That's the drive of the whole thing. That's the whole hinge of this, to love God and love neighbor. How, as we begin our day, are we doing this? And it's to wrestle with that. And so I begin each day this way. 4 out of the 5 days a week, I get to bring my 3 sons to school, and we say the Shema together, and we talk briefly on the way to school. We say the Shema, they say it in English, and then they say it in Hebrew because they're nerds like their dad and they wanted to learn it. And then we talk about, well, what does it mean, A, who is your neighbor? As we step into the playground, as we step into school, who's your neighbor? I want them to know, and they list it. And well, what does it look like for you to love God by loving your neighbor through loving your neighbor today? And so we talk about it as we get going. This has never been more needed in our world than right now. Because this love God, love your, is beyond denomination. It is beyond religion itself. It's beyond political parties. This is about oneness, wholeness. It cannot be tribal. It cannot be dualistic. Because that's the goal essential of our world, is to separate and put into categories. This is my tribe, whatever that is, whatever that tribe is. But we often are being told to be put into tribes, separate, and then it's us versus them. And the Shema says this is about oneness, wholeness. We are God's children, and we will love our neighbor, which means everyone. And so it has to begin there. So we have to step outside of our dualistic minds, which is where we often begin. It's how we begin. It's a stage, but we need to go beyond that. God's trying to break us out of this dualistic mindset. So now, we're going to step into, from there we move to what is often known as kind of the expansion of the church or the growth of the church, the start of the church, even though it's not the start of it, but in many ways in the New Testament, we're going to be in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is Jesus has lived his life, if you will. He's been crucified, he is resurrected, and now he's gathering with his people, resurrected, Jesus kind of with his followers, and they're going to have a little chat with them. And they're meeting together, and they say to Jesus, okay, you've done a number of things. So they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. Even if we stop there, which I think is fantastic, do you see already what's happening with this? Any of those people who are like, the Lord is coming back and fill in the blank, they miss this part, apparently, that says that's not your job. Your job isn't to know all these dates. Your job is to love God and love your neighbor. You don't get to say when God's coming back or all of that kind of talk. Here's what you need to know. And he's already telling his people, because they're like, oh, is this where this is going to happen? Not interesting to Jesus, which I love. So then we keep going. Then he says, here's what is your job. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit operates in you. That's how it's translated. Operates in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we're going to go start with receive. That word is lambano. Go ahead and say lambano in the Greek. Lambano. And why is it means without the notion of violence. It's kind of a big deal. You're going to receive this, and it's not this violent thing, in power. Now, this word power is important. Go ahead and say dunamis. So next slide. This word dunamis is inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So the best way to understand it, it says this is going to operate in you. It's essentially, and dunamis, by the way, this is where we get the word dynamite. This is where we get it, this kind of power. Here's the thing. It's as if this is in you and there's a fuse and it just needs to be lit. And that's what it's saying. When the Holy Spirit lights the fuse and it goes off in you, you're going to have this power, not in any kind of violent way, but in a passionate, here you go, it's in you, now live into this kind of way. This is what we are invited into. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit operates in you, and then it says with this, next slide, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, this is great because your job is not timelines, like we said. You don't have to know dates and stuff like, well, this is when the, and we, no, not your job. Your job is wherever you are and wherever you're going, you are to be a witness. And so we get this, the word witness here, next slide, is the word martus. Go ahead and say martus. And it means to be a witness of an experience, and it's where we get the word, it also means martyr. But to be a witness of an experience, so what it's not, so when we say go be witnesses, you're not going out telling information. Let me tell you about some stuff. Let me tell you about an experience that I have lived and I have had. Are you with me? So important. Witnessing, being a witness to something I have experienced, that's what I'm doing. So wherever you are and wherever you go, you're just witnessing to that which has happened within you. Because joy and meaning are contagious, they have to be shared no matter the cost. That's where we get martyr is like, I have to do this. I have to live this way. I have to share this. I have to tell you about what happened to me. And someone says, well, you can't do that. It's illegal. Or whatever the thing is, you might get hurt if you share that. The answer is, whatever. I have to do this. I have to tell you about what is happening in me and through me. And this is what it will, no matter the cost. So in chapter 1 in Acts, they are told by Jesus, this is your job. You're going to receive power. You are to go in Jerusalem, where they're at, home base, where they're comfortable, is what Aubrey said. Then there's going to be Judea, Samaria, which even that, already to say Judea and Samaria, that word and, good heavens, that's just like saying you're going to go to Michigan and you're going to go to Michigan State. What? No, one or the other. And Ohio State. No, right? You're a heretic. I understand. But that's, oh man, that one you all got cranky pants about that one. But it's and this is shocking. And it would be to them when Jesus is like, here's where I need you to do. They would have been like, what? And that's just it. Or what you all did, like light the torches. And it's important. So this is where we're going to go. So we're going to head. But here's the amazing thing. Chapter 1, he says go. It isn't until what we know as chapter 8 of Acts that they actually go. They don't leave until what is called the Great Persecution takes place. The Great Persecution comes against the church, and to literally, Stephen is one of these first followers. He's actually martyred. He's killed by sharing what he has experienced, and they kill him, and it says a great persecution comes against the church, and then they go, because the reality is sometimes, oftentimes, it takes a lot of pain, or it takes some pain to get us to do what we're supposed to do. Are you with me? Sometimes we need that, like, oh, I think I'm supposed to do this. And until you feel that, uh-oh, I have to do this now because you've experienced pain before you act. So in Acts chapter 8, then, verse 4, we have this. So those who had been scattered because of this persecution preached the word wherever they went. Now, we hear that word preach, and you're like, oh, I don't like that. The word is euangelizo. Go ahead and say euangelizo. To bring, that's fantastic, bring good news of the joy, and it's Charles Dickens' definition, of joyful tidings of God's kindness. Thanks, Charles. He didn't really define that. It just seems funny to me. Euangelizo is to bring, so this preaching is to bring good news, the joyful tidings of God's kindness. That's what it is to preach this. Ready? So is it, next slide. Why? Where did we get that? To preach good news, that's not good news. And if that is your good news, please don't tell me your bad news. How, to me, it's where we haven't paid attention. We didn't do the work, and so then we end up doing this. That's not helpful. It's just not. Shame and guilt isn't getting us to where we go. That's not bringing the good news of Christ. So, just so we point that out. Now we're going to head in Acts chapter 8. We're going to head to a story. This is just a setup for that. We're going to begin verse 26 and we're going to go through 39. So we're going to begin here. One of those people who've been pushed out, who've been scattered by the persecution, is a guy named Philip. And so it says this, now an angel of the Lord, an angel also means messenger. So messenger of the Lord, angel of the Lord, so you're not esoteric with this whole thing, just out floaty, but he's been told somehow, some way, said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now this word, to go down, is the word katabano. Go ahead and say katabano. Catabano, yeah, it's good. Why? Is it means to descend from, to go out from where you are comfortable. Well done preaching this morning already, Aubrey. Catabano is what she said. You just didn't hear that word. But it is to leave that. Jerusalem is comfortable for these followers of Jesus. Home base, their people. And they've been told to leave the comfort and go down on this road. So this is important because this word katabano is also appears in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, when Jesus is baptized. So there's this moment where Jesus is baptized by John and he goes in the water and it says there is the Spirit of God like a dove, katabano, on Jesus. That is, leaves the comfort of heaven in order to send Jesus into our chaos. Well, where's comfort? Heaven. Oh, I just stay there. No, no, no. The Spirit leaves the comfort of heaven to send Jesus into the world's chaos. That's what happened. That's what's happening at his baptism. That's the word here. And so Philip is being sent to that which he is comfortable and told to be going out there. Why this is important, one of my rabbis, Rabbi Nachum Ward Lev, says it this way. We are each called to a liberation journey for which we are never fully prepared. That journey characteristically entails a departure from a settled circumstance and an entrenched authority to a risky life of venturesome freedom. Whoo, come on, Rabbi. Are you with me? If you need a definition of what it is to be a Christian, a risky life of venturesome freedom, I'll take that as my definition. It is to leave that which is comfortable. It's a journey that we're, and I love this, never fully prepared for, right? I'm not sure exactly how to do this, but I have to. Verse 27 of our text in Acts of this story. So he, Philip, started out and what? Whoa, say that again. On his way. I love this. We're going to get into this. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. Very important person. He oversees the money of one of the most influential people in the world at that time. This is an important person, but it's on his way that this takes place. Here's the thing. Does the text say, from what we just had, does it say a destination? It never even really gave a destination to Philip. It just said, you're supposed to go south on this road. It doesn't say, and then you'll get here and you'll do this. You just start going there. And it's on the way that this happens, which is important for you and I because it's welcome to your life and mine, right? And I'll say it this way. Most of life takes place between where you are and where you are heading. Most of life, next slide, takes place from where you are, between where you are and where you're heading. Most of your life is, the way I say it, is between the clouds. It's not here or here, it's everything in between. And we set ourselves to say, once I get here, then life will be. Once I get this, once I land here, once I receive this, once I own this, buy this, have this, then things will. And so we're trying to jump from cloud to cloud, but the reality is most of life takes place in between the clouds. It's in between this space. And so I love this story because it's like, oh, all the action, there is no destination even given. It's on the way. You just go. And what happens takes place on the way. Verses 28 and 29. Next slide. This man had gone, this Ethiopian eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and what? On his way, fascinating, home, was sitting in his chariot reading, we'll circle that word and come back to it at the end, chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Already our language, the book of, he doesn't have a book. He has a scroll maybe, which is fascinating because they didn't all have Bibles then. To have the writing tangible, physical with you, that would be, this guy's got money. He's got resources and to be able to have this. So he has that. He's reading from the Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Next slide. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Let's do some review already. This foreigner who is broken, he's a eunuch. We didn't get into that. It's a castrated guy here. Doesn't have all of his parts. So he is broken. He is a foreigner. He is going to Jerusalem, or has been to Jerusalem, to worship, though. So we go, oh, so he goes to church. That's interesting. Then on his way home, he's reading Isaiah the prophet. So he's reading his Bible. But he doesn't know who Jesus is. Welcome to West Michigan. Welcome to the United States. Welcome to the vast majority of the world. That somebody might go to church, somebody might read their Bible, and they very well might not know who Jesus is. Okay? So that's going on. So he's doing this. Philip is told to go. And I love this. Verse 29, next slide. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. That's his instructions. How many of you say, no, you know, it's got to be detailed. Bullet points, God, give me the plan. How about just go stand over there? But here's the thing. This, by the way, is one of my morning prayers. Ready for it? If you take notes, it'll be tough to memorize. Here's one of my morning prayers. Pay attention. It's one of my prayers. Pay attention. Philip, go stand over there and pay attention. Pay attention to what God has already been up to, is already doing. Pay attention. That's all I need you to do is go be by these people. Go to where people are hanging out. Where do people hang out? Where do people hang out? Go there and pay attention. That's the invitation. Now, Just some help in studying. One commentary, Matthew Henry commentary says this, next slide. Just so you know, the Ethiopians were looked upon as the meanest and most despicable of the nations. Just to get context. So Philip is told, go over there by that chariot and stand near it. Here's the thing, if this is the case, then the response should be from Philip, no, because they, those people, are mean and despicable, according to Matthew Henry. But the study, the culture is like, no, those people are awful people, so no. But here's Philip's response, next slide. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. Are you with me? Philip said, okay, Spirit says, something in me is saying you need to go stand over there and listen, and he's not, but I don't, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. That guy, those people make me uncomfortable. Instead, Philip's like, here we go. And not walking. Woo! Philip ran. That's preaching. So he goes up to it, and then Philip's question to the Ethiopian eunuch is this. Do you understand what you are reading? He does not say, do you like what you are reading? Do you find it encouraging and inspiring? He doesn't say that, which were fine questions, but he asks a fantastic question. Do you understand what you are reading? Why? Because here's the word, understand, next slide. It's the word gnosko in the Greek. Go ahead and say gnosko. The Hebrew it's pulling from is yeda. Go ahead and say yeda. Yeda will change everything for you. You learn that one Hebrew word and find that. It means everything and it'll flip the whole scriptures upside down for you. Yeda is a first-hand experience. Do you, in the guts of your being, sir, feel this? Have you experienced what you're reading? I'm not interested in information. I'm interested in transformation. I'm interested if it's doing something at the core of who you are. That's my question. Have you experienced this? That's his question, because we're not getting people to check off statements and doctrines and stuff. Fine, fine, fine. No, no, no. Have you experienced Christ in the deepest part of your being? Which another rabbi of mine, Rabbi Lawrence Kushner, another one if you want to study it, we don't have that one up there, but Rabbi Lawrence Kushner says, to speak of the divine, to speak of God, begins with Maaseh Shehaya. Maaseh Shehaya means it once happened. Or like we like to say, once upon a time. It's this, if you're going to talk about God, Rabbi Lawrence Kushner says it begins with, it once happened. Let me tell you about something I experienced. We become storytellers of a life that we're living that's happening to us. Are you with me? Have I beat this thing into the ground enough? An experience. He doesn't say, let me tell you some facts, let me tell you some data. If you're going to speak of God, it begins with, let me tell you some stories of how my life has been flipped upside down, inside out, and been moved from comfortable to uncomfortable. Ding. Okay, I'll move on. Thank you. Verse 31. So his response, the eunuch's response, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Hodageo. Go ahead and say hodageo. To be a guide or teacher. So helpful when we get into this because it's not explained. Blah, 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 blah. How can I unless someone is a guide or a teacher for me? How can I? What he's saying is, hey, you know what? I don't have a community in which I can ask questions with, journey with, have them walk with me and guiding me in this. That's what he's saying. How am I going to get this unless I have people to do life with that I can ask questions, any question to, unless I can wrestle with them, how will I completely get this? Such a big deal. And I would say it this way, next slide. A relationship with God is personal, but it's not private. Because I know we can run into, especially in West Michigan, well, that's private. Your relationship with God? Nope. It's personal, but it is not private. It is meant to be done in community together so that we can wrestle together in community. And we're moving very quickly into a place where people think that's my thing and I'm just going to do it over here. No, 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 no. The church is people together wrestling and asking questions. Because then some people, my church, though, is I like to take a walk in the woods. Beautiful. That's not church. That's a discipline or a practice. You do that and that means the world to you. Good. I love it. Let me champion it. That's not church, though. That's a practice. Oh, I just, you know, what I love to do is I love to read my Bible. That's church. Good. I love it. It's a practice. Church is people together wrestling with their doubts, wonderings, faith, all of it. Yes, 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 yes. Are you with me? Good. Verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage, which, by the way, is Isaiah 53, and it's important. He begins with where the guy was reading, and he told him the good news about who? So fascinating. Philip says, I'm just going to spend time taking what we, the Hebrew scriptures, or what we often call the Old Testament, Hebrew scriptures, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to start where you are, and we're just going to read this, or we'll walk this out together so I can tell you about who it is this is speaking of, this Jesus. Through this, I'm going to tell you how Jesus offers a shalom, wholeness, completeness with ourselves, with our neighbor, and with creation. That's what this does. Verse 36. So he's going to tell them about Jesus. We're going to come back to that. Look, the Ethiopian says, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? We're going to hold right here. Because Philip's answer, let's be crystal clear, Philip's answer should be, and I'll just give you some, no first. No. Because of your ethnicity, because of your nationality, because of your politics, because you're not whole, you because of this eunuch thing, you obviously have not been circumcised. You took it too far, and I guess if you want to go that route. But you can't be. No is the answer for a myriad of reasons. The answer is no. What's standing in the way of you being baptized? Lots of things. You can't be. Next slide. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Church, we need this so badly, more than ever, this. Because apparently if you yada Jesus, nothing keeps you from being baptized. If you yada Jesus. This is the very heart of God. Who can? Anyone can. It then should be the heart of the church. Should be answered when someone says, well, what's standing in the way? Nothing. Do you know? Have you experienced the Christ? Yep, good, nothing. But what about, the church gets hung up on the, oh, let's see here, have you made the creed? Puke. Later, get there. Fine, beautiful, helpful things. But I don't need you to sign on some paper thing or something. We'll get there at some point because we've got to appease somebody. But here is what I'm interested in, the Christ. You know Christ? Done. Yes, let's get in the water now. And Philip right there doing that changes the face of everything. The church, you know how much trouble he's in? The denominational heads are calling him right now. That guy's in trouble. Naughty Philip. And he says, whatever, nothing. You yada Christ in. This kind of bold, courageous, wide open invitation is the heart of the divine. So may it be for the church. Are you with me? Who can come to the table? Who can come to God's table? Who can belong and participate? All people? All people? Wrestle, church. Wrestle with that one. I am. verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. What is that? And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Whoo, that. Now, just so we get that, that word here, next slide, is the word kairo. Go ahead and say kairo. Kairo is to rejoice exceedingly, exuberant celebration. In the technical language, partay is the word. So my man goes away just celebrating. He can't hold it in. Everything is new, changed, something is happening. And this guy goes away celebrating. But this is a big deal. This word, even, that he left rejoicing. Why? Because remember, Philip took him from chapter 53, what we call of Isaiah, and he says, let me tell you about Jesus. Here's what we can assume. If he's walking him the way through the text, if he's in Isaiah 53, he would get to Isaiah 56. Why we know this is because Isaiah 56 is actually fulfilled. Fulfilled, it takes place in this story. So let's go to Isaiah 56 and watch actually how this is embodied. So Isaiah 56 says this, let not the foreigner, oh, that's him, who has joined himself, Yedad, to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. You can't say that. And let no eunuch, oh, interesting, that's him too, right? He can't say, behold, I am a dry tree. You can figure that one out. For the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. That's relationship. That's a relational, this covenant is a relational thing. Those who hold fast, hold, cling to, live out of this relationship, you can't say that. Next slide. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial. We stop there. Why? Because the word memorial is like we go, oh, that's nice. We should give him a trophy. We give him a trophy because he's done this. No, 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 no. That word memorial is the word yad. Go ahead and say yad. Yad has some meanings. Yad can be, it can mean, it can translate hand or power. But power's tied to, here's the beauty of it. So it's like, that's the thing. If for those who hold fast to this eunuch that holds fast to this relationship, we'll give him a hand, like cheer for him. Power, or here's the beauty of it. Yad is a Near Eastern euphemism for male genitals. Are you with me? Come on. So what that's saying is, oh, listen, you cling to me. What he's telling them is you will be made whole. You will be put back together. That's the promise, and that's what's taking place. Why is this guy dancing in joy? Because in the promise of the kingdom of God, I am being put back together. I am being made whole, because that's what God does for all of us, is that's the promise, to be put back together. Apparently, even castrated Ethiopians. That's a story. Now, let's keep reading. To this, and because you don't get just put back together, you get a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. How funny is the Bible? That is fantastic. The writer knew what he was doing, or she was doing there, whichever. That is beautiful. But here's the thing. Name means reputation. Reputation. You will be given a reputation better than that of sons and daughters. In fact, I will give you an everlasting, an eternal, a forever reputation. This is going on and on, which you can't cut that off. Goodness gracious. What God is doing in you is indestructible and eternal. And you can't take that away. Also, so keep going, next slide. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name, the reputation, the very glory of God, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast again this relationship, covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them what? Yeah, guess what that word is? Chairo, to causatively make gleesome. in my house of prayer. In fact, what will happen when you do this, you'll walk away dancing. You will be joyful. Do you see how we just read that. It happened in this story. They were put back together. You will leave celebrating, throwing a party. Why does he do this? Because he knows he's being put back together. He has experienced, is experiencing shalom, wholeness, community. I have a people who will listen to me, who will wrestle with me. This guy, Philip, decided when I invited him up into my chariot, he said yes, and he got in, and he engaged with me, and he walked with me in my life. So, if you will reflect with me on this story, a couple of things. One, I want to bring you back to the chariot, because in the scriptures, a chariot typically symbolizes wealth and power, most often power through violence, through military. A chariot is a symbol of wealth and power, but in this story, a chariot is turned into a church. Do you see what happened here? A chariot's turned into church, if you will. This thing that's usually used to kind of set people apart, set people above, has kind of come together in this community of wrestling with the faith. So I would say at this, the church, the chariot becomes your first service. Now, if you're new around here, let me explain that. First service is if you've been around here that you've heard me tell stories of first service. First service, this is second service that you're at. And if you're like, when did we have a first service? I get up early, and most of the week anyways, but especially on Sundays, but I'm always up early, and I go to a coffee house near me, and I, in that coffee house, have just had the opportunity to build relationships, meet people where it happens, but on Sunday morning, I always get up early, and this morning, like, I literally stood at the door while they for them to unlock the doors, and I'm like, and they know it's me, and they opened up early. It's fantastic, but I go in there, and I just roll around in my notes, and I spend time there, and it's just, it shouldn't be mind-blowing, but people see the computer open, they see pictures of something, or they, whatever it is, but people like to talk, and they're like, hey, who are you? What are you doing? Why is that on your computer screen? And a picture of Israel, or whatever the thing, it's just things, and all of a sudden, we start talking, and I build these relationships, and they're like, oh, wow, so you're going to talk about stuff this morning. What are you going to talk about? And they just invite it, and I go, oh, we're going to talk about this. They're going to talk about castrated Ethiopians. That'll kind of get you going, right? Then the thing is, and then I start to, and I've built these phenomenal relationships in which people have said and have come back and just say, hey, can you talk some more? Hey, can you tell me about that? Whoa, what about this? Hey, I'm not sure about that. I've got lots of questions. I doubt that very much. Really, why? And we have these brilliant conversations, so by the time I get here for this, I've already had at least first service. By being available, and when I go in there, I try and just say, ready, my prayer? Pay attention. And people ask questions and wonder, and they push, and they lean into this thing, to which one guy who does not, will not, has made it abundantly clear the church has some sort of rash it gives him. But he said to me last week, with tears in his eyes after I shared the message with him last week, oh, here's where we're going this week. He looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, will you be my church? I can't do the big thing right now. I can't get there right now. But will you be my church? Because I come here every Sunday to get coffee and to connect with you and hear where we're going to go this week. Of course. What I need you to do real quick is sign the denominational. So if you can't do it, no. Right? Yeah, come on. Like, here we go. This is beautiful. Keep wrestling. Keep going. Push. Go. I'll be here. I'll show up. If I'm late for second service, they'll know why. Here's the thing. The chariot is your first service. What is the chariot for you? What is the, is it a coffee house? Is it cubicle 4? Is it the loading docks? Is it your front yard? Is it your backyard? Where is your chariot? that you're supposed to run up to, that you're being pulled, provoked, pushed, invited by Spirit to say, please run up to that. Please go and pay attention because something's already taking place. God is at work in people, stirring them in some way, shape, or form. I just need you, Sue and Mark and Larry and Dave and Alice and Martha, to please pay attention and just listen and ask questions. Will you do that? What is your chariot? What's your first service? What is your first service? This is the mission. One, then, we keep going. One who initially symbolizes, so there's the chariot that symbolizes this, then the person who symbolizes someone who is cut off from God, pun intended. So he represents someone cut off from God. Now he represents how the good news of Jesus extends to the ends of the earth, even to castrated Ethiopians. This is a picture of how the message goes to everyone. Now here's the thing and the invitation, the challenge for us. This brilliant story happens, it takes place because Philip, this guy, very practically does this. Next slide. Love God, love neighbor. Philip practically and very tangibly just loved God, loved neighbor. I love you, God. Good, then I need you to run up to that chariot. Okay, that seems really weird. Just go stand by it, and pay attention. And because Philip does, this whole thing gets bonkers. And the most beautiful way, life-transforming way ever. The question then is, how will you love God through loving your neighbor? What is the chariot for you? What is that? What are those chariots for you? This is about experiencing the peace of Christ and then extending that peace to others. Listen, be fully present, and we need this more than ever in our go, 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 go world, and everything is just happening, and what's next, what's next, what's next, and listening to 10 things at once and not doing one thing, just listen. Pay attention to that which is right in who is right in front of you. Pay attention so that we can offer them. So that raises the question. Here's our thing. Last slide. What are the chariots you need to run up to? What are your chariots? Because when we talk about Mission Sunday, maybe it's to go to Ethiopia. Beautiful. Love that. Maybe it's your backyard. Maybe it's, and I would say it is your backyard, it is your front yard, it is all the places in which you already are at. God is up to something. He's inviting you to listen, to pay attention. At cubicle 4, when Sally is struggling and you just go, that's uncomfortable, but you're going to listen and you're going to say, Sally, what's going on? And listen, and listen. Ooh, seems like they're having a rough day because I look in their eyes and there is pain in their eyes. And all I'm going to do is say, are you okay? And I'm going to mean it when they respond with, I'm fine. And you go, I don't think you are. Or if they go, yeah, it's a tough day. Why? I'd love to hear what's going on. And we listen. That's the mission. That's the mission that we are invited into. I'd love to pray, and then I just want us to kind of swim in this, soak in this, and so I'll invite Kara and maybe Abby up, but we'll sing a little bit, or more, you just need to sit there and listen, and maybe you're reflecting on, well, what are my chariots? What are my chariots? What are my chariots? What are my chariots? Gracious God, we bless you. You are speaking. You have been speaking. You're going to continue to speak, God. May we be dialed in. May we listen. May we pause. However long or short it takes, that we will listen. Where are you moving, working right now. How can we join you in that? How can we step into that? How can we run up to these chariots? What are they? You're good God. You invite us into this, and I bless you for that. May you continue to speak and just roll around in the deepest part of our being. Make us uncomfortable. Call us out of that comfort so that in the midst of being a witness, we know that's good news for others, and that is good news for us. It transforms our heart as you invite others into your heart. So God, we invite you to keep speaking. Speak now. Here is your church, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to understand what you have for us. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.